Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Drama. All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. You know, I want you to holler at me, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call me, feel free to email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You email me and I will definitely answer your questions, comments, concerns. Social networking, hit me up on Smooth Drama page on Facebook. Add me and I'll add you back. I've been pleasantly surprised and enthused by the number of add-ons that I have received. It's encouraging. At the same time, say hi. You know, hi, hello. I won't bite, not unless you ask me to. And that's a whole totally different thing. Also, just Google Smooth Drama. You Google Smooth Drama and wherever you find me, I want to holler at you. I want to talk to you. We got a lot of things in the works coming up for 2017. Stay tuned. We're going to have some updates and good stuff for you. Also, for those of you listening and you want to see my face that's made for radio, go to Periscope TV and you can see me, Smooth Drama, live. Follow me. I'm like, instead of Miss Cleo, call me now. I want you to follow me now. That didn't come off right, but I think y'all get the gist of what I'm saying. Holla at your boy. Before I get started, though, I got to take care of something. I got to say happy birthday to my baby sister. I'm not going to say her name. But happy birthday to my baby sister. It's effectively over on the East Coast. But you got 3 hours left here on the West Coast. Love you. And always will. Meantime, President Obama said his goodbye. Everybody's like, oh my God, it's the, you know, black folks hyperventilating. Oh, President Obama, that's it. There's no more President Obama. We're going to Donald Trump. It's like, okay, get over yourself. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm hating, but we got 10 days before the inauguration, right? So that means technically 9 days, and if we talk about business days, we have to look at the calendar. Business days left before Trump, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 business days before Trump is president. So what do I expect to happen? I'm still waiting on my check. I know. Folks is like, nah, I'm just saying. Obama wanted it. I mean, because they're talking about repealing everything. Hey, just fuck it. Just be like, you know what? Reparations. Black folks. Choo! I'm out. It's like he can do that on the 19th, right? Just sign it and just push it through. It'll get vetoed, but the point is, he's like, look, hey, reparation. I hooked y'all up on my last day. They can't fire me. They can't impeach me. Nothing. Because we know if he brought up reparations like today, they would impeach him tomorrow. So what we're saying is, on the 19th, reparations bill. I passed it. I signed it. Boom. That's it. Now we know it's not gonna pass, but just put it through. You sign it, put it through. Reparations. Bernie wanna be real. Co-sponsored by Bernie Sanders. You know it's not gonna happen, but I'm just saying it would be the real goodbye. Now I haven't heard it, so if y'all heard it, tell me if he said something that was worthwhile. He said he was going to get rid of all our student loans or something. He was bailing out all black folks. I mean, I don't even want the reparations. Just forgive our debt. Bam. You know what? Your ancestors worked for it. Your debt is forgiven. Bankruptcy for everybody without the penalty of bankruptcy. Just you owe nothing. Makes sense, right? Probably not. Oh, also, special shout out to the Clemson Tigers for beating Alabama in a great game. Not a good game, but a great all-time classic game to come back and win the game with 1 second left. That was some good stuff right there. I enjoyed it. Almost as much as I'm going to enjoy Chris Brown and Soulja Boy, who are supposedly are going to fight in pay-per-view in March. Apparently it's real. Floyd Mayweather is training Soulja Boy, and Mike Tyson is allegedly training Chris Brown. I'm like, I would actually pay for that. But they better fight. Now, if they don't fight, we looking for their ass. But I'm telling you, if ever there was a pay-per-view that would do, 5 to 10 million, Soulja Boy against Chris Brown, especially if they're going to like really get in there and duke it out. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That would definitely work. It would definitely work out. And I know I'd be there. I don't know how many other people would take that seriously, but Floyd Mayweather training the Soulja Boy and Mike Tyson in the other corner training Chris Brown. And they got some beef over some woman. Don't matter. I don't care. I just want to see them actually punching each other. Like with real punches. I see that. I'm good. Now, if they're not going to really fight, then nah. I don't care about no charity. Oh, it's an exhibition. Oh, we just was playing. Nah. You want to handle it? Handle it. Now, in an interview for Hollywood Unlocked, Mayweather said, I think the best way to resolve any problem is to do it the old school way, physical. The guys can't come to a resolution by communicating, so they should do it physical with the gloves on. I think it would be really entertaining. I think Soulja Boy is an unbelievable entertainer, and so is Chris Brown. I think a lot of people want to see those two come together and make an explosion. I hope it happens. Like, real. Because, I mean, to see them two dudes beat each other up, I don't know I want to see get knocked out. Maybe it could be something where they can, like, hit each other at the same time and get knocked out simultaneously. Seen a boxing match where that actually happened. That would be optimal. But yeah. And because it's like, you know, rap beef, dudes talking trash, put on the boxing gloves, get in the ring. What you got? That is awesome. We'll see if it happens, though. I am a skeptic. I don't know if they will allow it to happen, but if they do, I'm there. I am there. We have a fight party in March. Speaking of a fight, though, y'all know about these assistants, that Amazon Echo, Alexa. You know, it started off with Siri. Siri, what's this? And now it's like, Alexa, what's that? And Alexa is actually connected to your, like, your Amazon account. So there was the Alexa ordered some dollhouses and some cookies and whatnot. I guess what happened was there was a six-year-old who asked the question, can you play dollhouse with me and get me a dollhouse? And so Alexa's like, yeah, sure. And bought a $170 Sparkle Mansion dollhouse. You know, along with 4 pounds of sugar cookies. So, I mean, think about that for a second. Alexa, here's what people say and just orders it. You know, you see the commercial. Hey, Alexa, order some flowers. And that's a good one, right? You know, where a dude, and then there's like, Alexa, order some wipes. Give me the recipe and order some wipes because the dog is like licking the TV. And I'm like, oh, that sounds cool, except for, like, you got people in the house, and somebody says something, and Alexa just orders it. Bam. And all of a sudden, you got stuff delivered to your house and charges on your credit card that you're like, hey, hold on. I ain't ordered no $170 dollhouse and no 4 pounds. 4 pounds of sugar cookies. Yeah. I'm bringing Alexa back. I mean, I have that Cortana. I have Windows 10. And it's funny because in the Windows 10 it's Cortana. And I always look at it, and the thing is, ask me anything. I'm like, no, I ain't asking you nothing. Cause you say something stupid back. I can't punch the computer, right? I look really stupid punching the computer. At the same time, you're like, damn, what's your recourse? I mean, because you can't argue. If you're arguing back and forth with the computer, your so-called personal assistant, you're probably crazy. If it's not even probably, you are crazy. And I don't want to be deemed crazy in my own head. So I will pass on that, but I think it's funny that Alexa is ordering stuff and how easy that can get out of hand. Just ordering stuff. I mean, you know, you're just sitting around, man, I wish I had this book. Oh, really? I'm gonna order this book on surprise. Book shows up like, and it's a book called This Book. Like, what? This, what the hell is this? Alexa, you know, because it's funny on TV in the commercials, but it ain't funny when you got all them charges on your card. So any of you folks trying to high sign, I got Amazon Echo, I got Alexa, and Alexa's doing stuff for you. It's like, you want to be cool, just remember, Alexa can mess your whole bank account up. And if you got people in the house and they talk about stuff around Alexa, and, you know, some folks think it's a joke, and then there's some folks be like, yeah, order like 20 of this and just walk away while you're in the bathroom. You get 20 pounds of fertilizer. Yeah. All kinds of bad stuff can happen. So don't do it. I know I'm not. And I think right now, I probably need a break. So, that note, this is Czarface featuring Ghostface Killah, Savagely Attack.
Nasty looking fellow, isn't he? Wait a minute. I've seen him somewhere before.
Uh-huh. Nah, pressure on your neck like a DDT, B Street, Waymo. Spitting on your name, rhymes travel underground like it's written on the train. My position in the game, top dog, rock hard. Fuck with everybody in your hood, it's not y'all basic. Live broadcast from the ER, we are talk of the town without the PR. Savagely attacking, rap master craftsman. Pack them in, twisting on the floor like a backspin. After him, y'all had to deal with the sun and deck. One of the best that hasn't done it yet. Killer B, chopping up the track like a Dilla B. Professor X couldn't test my ability. I came the motherfucking roof like heavy snow. Act like I told you before, y'all already know. Yo, yo, ES Rep, I wrote this in a DS Flex 95 to get that 95, my melody. High low fidelity starts, my whole team's having dirty like with deputy starts. I can't call it, let me call myself diabolic. I'm a writer-holic, I drink ink till I vomit. I think till I'm catatonic, stick with the bag of chronic. I'm bringing the mad demonic style. All these rappers wanted, I'm bizarre, I'm bizarre. Bars got you like a scimitar, Wichita State, X-Men. I execute you, you a dead man. God willing, I'm a non-villain, getting top villain with my squad chilling. Blood on the tracks like Bob Dylan, high like a mob killing. We already know the ropes, we be stepping over ropes. Andre the Giant looking down at you local folks. So he don't motorize vocals here in practice. Raised on a tape the same color as Galactus.
So, Mr. Ghost, we meet again, eh?
Like a nigga on backstroke, beat his face off, leave his body on asphalt, rampant, run through your town on attack mode, savagely, even bro, stick in the asshole, cobra clutch the icky and stick to the dustbin, throw a mask on and go in, go in, I'm a terror, like a gym star, a new era, walk around with two bats like I'm Yogi Berra, or Murphy, Sin City, rock and roll with a trench, my thrill is black, I have you ducking under the bench, the stench of dead body, source of remuneration, bring you close to the guard, in a tight situation, or thrown in the back of the truck, a sanitation. I'm ruthless, my technique is tiny torture. No, I'll be hanging out of your vein to support you. Everybody talking about how to go torture. Have a 5-year-old kill your ass. Full quarter.
At Tony Stark's office, there is a new development.
Iron Man. Iron Man. Red alert. Red alert.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was our face, Savagely Attack. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Also, you can email me, questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Last but not least, jump up in the chat room if you ghost listening. Say something to me. I promise not to bite. I keep telling you, I nibble. I don't bite. It's one of those things. Anyway, you know I love stupid studies. There was a study, I guess they took it seriously, in the University of Leicester. There is a peer-reviewed journal of physics special topics saying that the model, they have a mathematical model that predicts the spread of disease. And so what happened is they predict that zombies will wipe out the human race in 100 years. I'm like, really? I like, come on. That's just silliness. You know, it's beyond silliness. But, you know, supposedly they say that zombies, they say if a zombie were to have a lifespan of 20 days, there would be a 90% success at finding and infecting one human per day, which will make the zombie virus twice as contagious as the Black Death pathogen. So within the 20 days, a single zombie could trigger a pandemic. A population of 7.5 billion people could be reduced within 100 days to just 100 to 200 survivors, with 190 million zombies still roaming around. Now, they say that's the worst case scenario, right? You know, I think it's hilarious that, you know, one, they always go with the scenario that no one would fight back. And I'm like, they never take into account the fact that poor people's neighborhoods are always fenced off. And most of the houses have, what, bars everywhere. So zombies getting in won't be that easy. I mean, because, what, zombies get into the house because they can, what, smash through windows, maybe? I mean, if we're talking about, hypothetically speaking, some zombie apocalypse. Zombies smashing through windows. In the hood, that's not going to happen because all the windows are barred. So now, of course, there's the fact that you have to get out. But stuff that happens in Europe wouldn't necessarily happen in the United States. I don't think they understand how strapped the people are here in the United States. Everybody, this is exactly what, like, people in the NRA would be like, yeah. This is why we have guns, just in case there's a zombie apocalypse. See, they say there'll be 100, 200 survivors. I'm going to be one of them. I mean, I am too, but that's besides the point. It's just hilarious, one, that they do that. I mean, because I've always, you've listened to me before, you know I'm conspiracy theorists. I've always thought that, you know, apocalypse, zombie apocalypse, things of that nature, they've always made, like, you had like a test run with the bath salts where they were just like eating people, and, you know, they was hard to kill. But most folks have seen that, hey, in the head, just blow the head off, no head, they can't do nothing. Or you can do like Michonne in Walking Dead and just cut the jaw off. They can't bite you, it don't matter. They'll just cut the head off. Just be a bunch of zombies with no head. Just in case you're into that type of thing. Now, of course, they did a better, more optimistic scenario where they said, taking into account human reproduction and the 10% chance that each human could kill one zombie a day, they said the human population still fell to a few hundred. And they said, but the zombies all died off after 1,000 days and humanity began to recover after 10,000 days, a little over 27 years. Yeah. And the new parameters, such as people having children within the nightmare scenario, made human survival more feasible. And this comes from British University. See, and that's what I say, they're in Britain. I don't think they never understood America. Here in America, we are crazily strapped and ready to bust a cap in a heartbeat. Now, I will say this, yes, the black population will take a hit, but that will be most of the so-called gangsters, right? You know, thugs, because they never hit their targets. Now, if you're trying to survive the zombie apocalypse and you're hanging out with thugs, thug life is probably not the way to go in the zombie apocalypse. Because they don't hit the target that they're shooting for, right? You know, you see the drive-bys, whatnot. They hit everything but who they're trying to hit. So, empirical data says, we live in America, right? We've seen and heard of how many deaths because somebody hit the wrong person. So, don't hang out with thugs in the zombie apocalypse. Because you're probably going to get shot. They're going to hit you trying to shoot the zombie. Or if you're an innocent person, don't hang around thugs. That, see, and that's the scary scenario right there for black folks in the inner city. I don't know why I'm sitting up here I'm being hypothetical about zombie apocalypse. It's just, maybe I'm weird. I'm feeling weird today. Black folks would have to be wary of these thugs and be wary of racist white people who finally be like, yeah, we get a chance to just like shoot you in plain sight. Like, oh, he was a zombie, so I popped him. Double jeopardy right there. Zombie apocalypse would not be that good for us, but take hold, black people. Stay in your neighborhood with the bars, whatnot. Get your guns up. And don't get in any cars and shoot. Stand still. Because the whole shooting, the moving targets, whatnot, it's not what black folks is meant to do. Obviously, a lot of you cannot shoot, right? It's no hate. A lot of you cannot shoot moving targets. Sitting still, yes. Moving, not so much. So please, in case of the zombie apocalypse, get out. Speaking of zombie apocalypse and shooting, a judge found that the tattoos of former New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez can be admitted as evidence in his upcoming double murder trial. You don't know. Mr. Hernandez is charged with killing two men in 2012 drive-by shooting because one of them bumped into him in the nightclub. Smart guy. Now, why the tattoos are important and admissible in court? This dude in some epic dumbass of the decade type. I mean, challenging O.J. Simpson. And it's hard to challenge O.J. But after he did it, he got tattoos of the guns that he used to shoot the people. And he's telling people about this. That right there is top 5 all time. He had the tattoos that link him to the killing put on his body of the guns. Like, yo, man, I smoke these fools. Put that tattoo right here, son. Woo, remember I talked about those rappers? Rapping their lyrics, living their lyrics. Find out it's not that cool. I'm against Aaron Hernandez. Is realizing that jail and all that is not quite as cool as playing football. Not quite as cool. Making money, being rich, prestige, women. Nah, I don't want none of that. I want to smoke fools who bump me in the club. Why I don't want to go to the club. You know, I have a built-in excuse saying I didn't want to be the older guy in the club that I used to laugh at. But there's also the whole, you know, stuff that I don't even consider like serious no more. Like you accidentally bump into somebody walking. Oh, excuse me, brother. Sorry. Man, what? What the fuck? And you got to fight. You can get shot and killed because you accidentally bumped into somebody. That's still, and the fact that that's why he killed somebody, and then to put the tattoos up on your body, that's all-time retardation at its finest right there. I don't even know what to say. Well, I do, because we talking about Groundhog Day, first case of Groundhog Day. Commission limits marijuana cultivation licenses to applicants with at least $1 million in assets. And mind you, this is the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Commission. They drafted rules, and they said the draft rules for the licensing of cultivation facilities, they set the financial hurdles very, very high, right? So in order to get one of five licenses that the commission will distribute later on this year, now they decided to reverse the decision last month to not require cultivators to spread out geographically across the state, but the amendment legalizing medical marijuana, it allowed the creation for 4 to 8 cultivation centers and about 20 to 40 dispensaries. But in order to cultivate and to be a real applicant, you have to show $1 million surety bond or assets worth $1 million and $500. Wait, I'm wrong. Hold on. $500,000 in cash before the application will be accepted. And the annual cost of a cultivation license is $100,000. So every year, kick up that money, ho. Kick up that money, ho. Arkansas, they established every year to renew your license is $100,000. Yeah. As gangster right there. See, you want to talk about gangster? You can own your land. You can grow this shit legally. You have to show $500,000 in cash, which, of course, then you have to prove why you have it. But then Uncle Sam is like, hey, I heard you got $500,000 in cash, homie. You only paid like $2,000 in taxes, homie. I'm gonna need you to kick up some more of that. Like 30%, homie. Ain't that how Uncle Sam, the updated Uncle Sam, you know, Uncle Sam roll up on you, you know, talking urban. Yo, what's up, man? You know, I heard you was making that paper. I'm gonna need you to kick in like $100,000 every year if you want to keep it rolling. So obviously $100,000 a year, having to show that you got $500,000 in cash and either $1 million surety bond or assets worth $1 million. How many of these regular cats can afford that? I mean, because no doubt, I'm sure there's some drug dealers who can put up $500,000. I don't think that would be a problem. $1 million in assets, but your shit is illegal. So how do you account for that cash? Because then, you know, of course, if you throw that cash out there, Uncle Sam is coming. You know, Uncle Sam be coming with that beeline. Uncle Sam is like a wasp to those spiders. It's like stick it in you, impregnate you, and then bam, it just, the new wasp busts out of you and kills you. That's Uncle Sam with them taxes. Because Uncle Sam will bend you over, spread them cheeks, get in there and intimidate. Yeah, I know. It sounds bad, but I mean, that's the reality, right? When you talking about you got to pay $1 million, well, you got to have $1 million in assets, and you got to pay $100,000 every year. That's like what they call in the drug game, consignment, right? If you ain't live with it, if you can't sell it, it's $100,000 a year that you got to kick up. So one, for it to be profitable, you have to, one, be making more than $100,000 a year. Because if you are making, you're making like $150,000, $200,000, you kind of, it's like draining you, killing you softly. See, because when they say, oh, you don't have to spread out, you can be in the same area, so you'll have a bunch of these cats. Like say you get some drug dealers and they like they all come together. These are assets, blah blah blah. You know they be smart with it, but then you're gonna get somebody else because they know all y'all in that same area is gonna stop you from being able to pay the whatchamacallit. I mean it'll happen like that, and there's nothing you can do about it. Crazy as it sounds. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It is going to be silly to see what happens in Arkansas. I'm going to pay attention to that one because you know what they're setting it up to be. Philip Morris is going to roll through. Like, yo, check it out. Maybe Philip Morris can afford to kick up $100,000. Philip Morris is going to take over the whole game. That's why they put it like that. Because they're going to knock out all the suckers. And if you're an illegal guy and you got the cash, now you have to be legit. You have to approve of your cat. I mean, they sticking you. You know, hearing people who are interested in that, I'm going to take a guess that if it takes off and then they can get that $100,000 every year, they're going to do it everywhere. Please believe. And it might be a little bit more California and all the other big states. Not to demean Arkansas in any way, shape, form, but I'm going to take a guess that in California that license would be way more expensive. Just a thought. Now, on that note, I think I need a break. I don't think I need a break. I kind of know I need a break. This is my homie, Kali. God versus religion.
Everybody fighting over this religion. You understand me? The Christians say Jesus is the messenger. The Muslims say it's Muhammad. I say, who gives a fuck who the messenger is? Did you get the message?
My philosophy is question what you decide, follow what you thought. Always keep an open mind and never be blind. Through the Bible's guidelines, the heavenly gates lock. The living right, the combination to get into the spot. The basics before leaving, I'm far from the heathen. Blessed with opportunities from the Lord I believe in. or it's rare. You putting faith in a power not physically there. But to believe in nothing, ignorance the highest degree. Who breeds vigilance, adapts to the scene. Yeah. By their design, like that white Jesus to make the colors so stay in line. And I ask my homies, would your dean stand up in court? When you drink, smoke, screw, sling dope, but you don't mess with court. Faith means believing it too. Not following just the teachings of convenience to you. And I'm not trying to be preachy, I'll be doing it too. But in the open, just because they wrote it don't mean that it's true. Every holy book is written by man, apostles. So man is imperfect, we think their world is gospel. I speak to the Lord, never theologist. They don't care about the people, just war and politics. And what I found is this, our cause of damnation, that God's meaning seemingly lost in translation.
A lot of people that are religious, they don't even know the history of what their, religion is.
Driven, trying to stay with it, figure it out, make a decision to explain just what it was about, chasing a vision to what living's allowed, pages were missing, I was praying to what isn't around, that got me straying on a different route, faced with the vision, I was placed in a position where the sin is about, I hope I hear it when the win is announced, faith and forgiveness are the basics of the business, all the gimmicks get out, I feel I'm innocent, even if I have cynical doubts, cause there's a limit to what I mimic from innocent's mouth, but don't consider this foul of blasphemous, it is a doubt, it's just the difference in how we practice. I'm trying to live it the loudest, others hold it inside. I guess we'll never really know till we die. I'm not trying to steal the love and compassion of anybody. I'm not trying to take any religion away from people at all. I just tell the world time that unless your religion makes you a better person, unless it makes you less judgmental of the people's lives, if it makes you more generous, if it makes you look at people and say, hey, you know what? What if I was that person? What if I grew up like that? Then it's ennobled you. But if it makes you more pretentious, if it makes you say, I just have the real truth, and everyone who doesn't believe in what I believe in is going to hell, then your religion has failed you as much as
together
you failed
you've
God.
Together you've got the smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer. That was my homie Kali featuring Immortal Technique, God vs. Religion. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Shout out to my Russian listeners and my Indian listeners, whoever you are. If I spoke your language, I would say peace in it, but I don't. And I was too lazy to try to figure it out. I'm sorry. I'm shallow. Anyway. Groundhog Day. I love talking about Groundhog Day because it just seems to be the story of the day. I mean, first, I know most of you know I've been following the Dylann Roof sentences. He was sentenced to death, right? That was cool. You know, he was sentenced to death. Now, the thing is, they sentenced him to death, but it took 3 hours. I was like, it took 3 hours. I mean, what was there to debate? I mean, this is the dude who was like, yo, I did it. Not sorry. It was like whatever. I mean, it wasn't even, there was nothing really to defend, right? He's like, yo, nah, I ain't crazy. There's nothing wrong with me. I hate black people. Well, no, he said he didn't hate black people. He was more, I have to defend my white people from black people. Like, okay, you have to defend white people from black people. Because he said that, according to him, black men were raping white women daily. And so because black men were raping white women daily, it was imperative that he shoot some people in the church. Because that's what they were doing. I mean, it wasn't even like he was like shooting people who were interracially dating. It's like, it's just folks that just in the church. But it took them 3 hours to sentence the dude. Now, I don't know what happens now. Like, he should just be sentenced to death, like, tomorrow. And he, like, gets killed next week. I mean, is there, like, a defense for that? I mean, someone who's, like, emphatically saying, I'm not crazy. I did it on purpose. There's no real argument, right? There's no need for a retrial or appeal, because he was defending himself. He's like, look, I'm out. I did it on purpose. I don't care. I would do it again. I'm not crazy. He's like a martyr for his cause, whatever the cause is. I mean, just killing innocent folks, that's the cause. But yeah, Dylann Roof, he should get the chair next week. But the real Groundhog Day, and speaking of being a jury, there's a drug dealer, not that he's a nice person, but a drug dealer, James Linder, who's going to have a jury, an all-white jury. You know how they say it's going to be a jury of your peers. He said he tried to have the trial moved, arguing in part that his client couldn't get a jury of his peers because it's small African-American population. So because they say, hey, the jury pool is selected randomly. The all-white jury. Now, we know that if there was a jury of all black people for Dylann Roof, there would have been a lot of hysterics, right? Like, is that a jury of his peers? And you could say, well, where the trial was, there may have been an overwhelming amount of black people. And there's not a lot of white people in the area. But it didn't come to that. But if it would have came to that, not that I want to sit here and defend the drug dealer, Linder, who supplied some heroin to a 21-year-old woman before she suffered an overdose. Now, it's tough in this situation because, one, he's a drug dealer. I hate drug dealers with all my heart and soul. It's illegal drug dealers in particular. Crack, cocaine, heroin, ruining your communities. I can't say that I ever want anything good to happen for them. And so he sold the heroin to a young lady who died. And so he's being charged with murder. Now, you can go back and forth and say, hey, she wanted the drugs. And so you understand the risks. That's an argument, right? At the same time, you know, my brain is wired to say, well, I hate drug dealers. But at the same time, should he be charged? Because he just, I mean, if anything, you just charge for illegal drugs, selling illegal drugs. But charge for murder? I don't know. Because it's like reasonable expectation that I sold it to you. But that don't mean that I deserve death penalty. Because I just sold you the drug. You're going to get them from somebody. And probably OD anyway. That's an argument. It's a faulty argument, obviously. But it's an argument nonetheless. I mean, it's a question. Would that happen? And would people, I mean, we always talk about juries of our peers, but there are other factors, like most black folks, you try to get them on jury duty, it's like, nah. I got to help my mom that day. I'm not going to be able to help. I'm not going to be able to serve. But yeah. That's a tough one, but no, I don't know about that one. Now, I did see when we talking about the medicinal marijuana, there was another Groundhog Day, because Groundhog Day is not just racism. Groundhog Day is systematic wrong. Well, Groundhog Day for the Smooth Drama Show is showing systematic wrongs that are put to the poor people by your oppressors to make it more profitable for them. Case in point, John and Sabrina Carey bought their property in Butte Falls 3 years ago. Butte Falls is in Medford County, and if I'm not mistaken, yes, Oregon. So they have 3 years they bought this property, and on this property they have a 10-acre. And there's a pond there. See, thing is, John and Sabrina want to sell and grow marijuana. They're cultivators, legal cannabis. But in order to get that, they had to prove that they had a viable water source on their property. And so based on Medford Water Commission, Water Master's office, they said the previous owners did not go through the process of obtaining a permit for the land, and this made the Carries in violation of Oregon's regulation, leaving them to pay to have their pond drained. Now, the pond serves as a water source for animals in the area, right? But the thing is, the Medford Water Commission says that according to a law from 1925, the water in those ponds on their property belongs to the Medford Water Commission. Meaning it belongs to the government. your property that you paid for, that you paid property tax on, the water, the pond that comes from the rain in the clouds from the sky does not belong. I mean, basically, water from the air that lands on your property that you own legally, that becomes a pond, is not yours. It belongs to the government. Think about that for a second. You didn't build a dam. You didn't build no illegal irrigation system. You didn't build a pipeline. Are we listening? You didn't build a pipeline that brought water from some water source that the county owned. It's their property that they bought and own. But you don't own the water on your property that came from the sky. Rainwater, big pond. And because they want to sell marijuana, they're going to have to drain it now. Why is that Groundhog Day? Once again, government does not want you, not that they're necessarily the common man, but they technically are. The common man can't self-sufficient and make a profit off of what they made. Because basically the carriers, I mean, all they have to do is bust out the water. And then they can grow their own marijuana and they can make money. They don't owe anybody. Well, they shouldn't owe anybody. But no. Medford Water Commission taking money out of their pocket because they don't want money being taken out of their pocket potentially. So we own the water on from the sky. I've never heard that before. That is a, I don't know if anybody out there listening think if, because they're basically saying, like, if you have property and you, like, set up, or you build, dig a well, whatnot, to collect that rainwater, that technically will not belong to you. You dig out some ground and make a little pond, that doesn't belong to you. That belongs to them. On that note, I am Mr. F the N word. This was, of course, another Smooth Drama production. I will see y'all on the flip side. Once again, happy birthday, baby sister. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you guys. Smooth. Drama.